Good to see everybody here this morning. We see have some faces here that we're not familiar with, and we're glad to see you. We have some faces here visiting with us that we are familiar with, so we're happy to see you as well. Okay, the subject of our lesson this morning is called Turning the World Upside Down. And this is primarily an example of what they did in the early church, but it's also a directive for us as well. Now, when we look at it, we look at this world, we realize not much is going to change. In fact, we see how pathetic and pitiful condition humanity is right now, and it's not likely to increase. But there is a world that you live in that is all your own. It's where you abide. It's in your home. It's around your family. It's around your co-workers. It's around your friends, your neighbors. That is your world. And that world is exclusive to you and, of course, your own family. And those are the ones that God has directed us to make an impact on. I mean, we have no control over people in Montana. We have no control over people in New York or other places. Even across town, we have no control over that. But what we do have control is the influence we exert in our own area, in our own community, wherever we are. We all have a mission field, and that mission field is wherever I am. Think about that. It is my mission field is wherever I am. That is where my responsibility to teach and guide others is important. And that's in my world. I need to be concerned about my example, my influence, and my teaching that I am doing. So we're going to look at the early church and look at some examples about this. And it's based on the passages in Acts 17 and verse 6. And when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Now, starting off, this was meant to be a derogatory statement that they have turned the world upside down. They've upset everything. Nothing is the way we think it should be. And so they made it into a derogatory statement. The Jews did not want to be told to change. And we know when Jesus came, he made that suggestion. You need to make some changes in your life. They didn't want to do it. In fact, they didn't want to do it so much that they decided to go ahead and kill this Jesus because he was not preaching or teaching what they wanted him to teach. And so they didn't like that. Their whole world was being shaken up. Because there were people, as we understand from the scriptures, there were people who were being obedient to the gospel, who were receptive to the gospel message, and then committing their lives to Jesus Christ. They were leaving the Jewish faith and turning into Christians. And of course, what that did is all of a sudden now, they're not tithing anymore. So the fact that it started hurting the coffers of the Jewish community, because they weren't tithing, these people weren't getting rich. Well, it was hurting their pocketbook, and so they got upset about it. That's just one of the reasons they got upset about Christianity, because it lowered their ability to spend money. People today are the same way. You affect their ability to spend money, you've got problems, and they're going to let you know about it. And so, pretty much the same thing, and turning the world upside down, getting people to change. I mean, that's a big thing. You go into a workplace and say, "We're going to make some changes." No way. I mean, the workers are going to be against that. Because they've always done it this way. They don't want to learn a new way, even if it might spare them some time or some effort. No, because they reason, well, either that, we're either going to lose some of our number because they don't need us anymore, or they're going to add more work to us because we're more efficient in one thing. And it's that way everywhere. People don't like making change. Now, another interpretation of this, in a very positive way, These people were making a difference. They were turning the world upside down. They were changing people from what they were into something else. And that is a very good thing when they turn them into what God wants them to be. They were trying to make changes that would influence the whole world. In other words, following the words of Jesus, to let your light shine. That's what they did. They did this everywhere they went. People were paying attention to it. People were turning to the Christ. They believed on the Christ. And they had the blessings of that belief. And so there was change taking place. Now with this lesson, we're going to discuss what kind of attitude does it take to make changes in the world. And let's just break this down more specifically. What kind of attitude does it take to change your world? What kind of action does it take to change your world? Now, if you have been, as you're supposed to have been, a very faithful Christian and setting a good example and teaching others, then chances are there's not much change that's going to take place. People know you. They understand you. They understand where you're coming from. They understand why you don't do certain things like they like to do. They know why. Because you have explained it to them and you have told them. But some of us, we have not done that. We just kind of blend in with everybody else so as we don't cause any actions or reactions and nobody picks on us. And that's a lot more comfortable. But we also know from the scriptures that anyone who desires to live godly is going to suffer persecution. That's what Paul said there in 2 Timothy 3 in verse 12. So the question is, are we doing our part to change the world around us? You know, we look at this world and, I mean, there's so many problems. There's no way we can fix all of those. And that's right. There's nothing we can do about that. But we can change our own world. We can change how we deal with our family. We can change how we deal with our friends and our neighbors. And we need to do our part. If God wants us to share the gospel message, we need to start doing that. And so, they turned the world upside down. It was not for prestige. When you consider what Paul went through, and he explained, it was not easy to do these things. And let's face it, if you look at 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 28, he gives a long list of reasons why he knows he had this responsibility and the things he had to endure. The shipwreck, the robbers, the beatings, the stonings, and all sorts of problems that he had to face. But why did he do it? Because he felt obligated to teach people about the Christ. That was his duty. That was his obligation, was to teach them, even though a lot of them did not want to hear it. And let's face it, the people who we might call our friends, you start preaching the gospel to them, you start teaching them what the Bible says, they don't want to hear it. And they have no problem telling you they don't want to hear it. Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me how to live my life. So what do? If you want to keep the friendship, what do? You shut up. And who wins when that happens? Satan wins when it happens. See, these early Christians, they believed in what they had. They were willing to die for it, as many of them did. And they did so for several centuries. They were horrible things. We read about, you know, the gladiators killing them and them being fed to the lions and other creatures just because they were Christians. They believed in the gospel of Christ. They believed in their souls. And they believed that the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. It was valuable to them. They knew it. How valuable was it? Because they were willing to die for it. They knew how valuable it was to God because God gave His Son. God gave His Son to the world to die for the sins of the world. And they knew how valuable it was to God. And for them, they knew how valuable the gospel was. In Acts 3, 1 through 10, you know, Peter and John, after the events of on the day of Pentecost, they were going up to the temple to pray, and they saw this man there who could not walk. He was lame from his youth, and he was sitting there begging alms. So Peter and John were walking by, and they stopped, they saw him, and they went over and addressed him. He said, "Okay, I'm going to get some money." And that's what he was expecting. But Peter said, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have is going to change your life." And he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, take up your pallet and walk. Take up your bed and walk." And immediately, strength came into his legs. He got up, picked up his bed, and he was walking with them. And the people were amazed. They started following them. So what did Peter do? "Y'all leave me alone. I don't want to be messed with." Did he do that? No. He started preaching to them. He says, "The reason this man is walking is because of Jesus Christ, the same one that you put to death. And that's why this man is walking." So they knew the value of Jesus Christ and living for him. And they believed everyone needed to hear it. Do we feel that way? Everybody needs to hear the gospel? If souls are going to be saved, they need to hear the gospel. Do we feel it and any obligation on our part to share the gospel with others? We know full well they don't want to hear it, but we need to tell them anyway. Now, what's going to happen is most likely they're going to leave you alone. They're just going to stay away from you. They're not going to have anything to do with you anymore. But the question is, do you need those kind of people in your life? Not really. See, in Mark 16, 15, 16, Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, to every human being. They need to hear it because salvation is dependent upon hearing the gospel. So they took this command seriously. The disciples who became apostles, they took this command seriously and they went and preached. And they preached to people who believed it, and they taught these people, and these people went about everywhere, as we find in Acts chapter 8. They went everywhere preaching the word. You know, Colossians 1:23 talked about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, which is able to save our souls. And they believed what they had was worth dying for. Do we feel the same way? I mean, that's something we hope we never have to experience. But we know some of our brethren in other parts of the world, this is something they face on a regular basis. That by declaring their faith in Jesus could be the death penalty for them. Could mean prison for them. But yet they're still willing to do it. They're willing to take that chance because they know how valuable the gospel is. I mean, some parts of this world, just owning a Bible is enough to cause you to go to prison or be shot or killed or murdered. And of course, nobody's going to say anything about it. The officials will look the other way. Why? Because you are a Christian and you don't amount to much in their eyes. Think about Stephen. Here he was, a man, he was a Jew, preaching the gospel message. They gathered him up, but he told them the truth. Acts 7, the whole chapter 7, talking about him and what he told them. He gave a wonderful story of their history and how their history was all focusing upon the Messiah that was to come. Then he says, "This Messiah is here." And the people didn't want to hear it because Stephen told them the truth. "You killed the Messiah." And that, so they didn't want to hear it. So they took him out of the city and they stoned him. Of course, that's where he got down on his knees and prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." But Stephen had other options, just like we have other options. Now, he could have not taught the gospel at all. I mean, he could have just basically gone about his business every day, going to work, doing his thing, and not tell anybody about the Christ. That would be easy. He wouldn't have been stoned for that. He could have stopped when the crowd got angry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll shut up and I'll go in my corner. Get out of the way. You won't hear from me again. He could have changed the message. Y'all don't have to do that stuff. God loves you. You're going to be safe. I mean, he could have changed the message. But the truth was so important to Stephen, he told the truth. And because of that, he was put to death. Now, when thinking about us, when we're approached with this, what do? We keep our trap shut. When we perceive that someone's getting upset, we say anything about God, somebody gets upset, oh, I better not say anymore. Or just change the message. Oh, don't worry about that. God doesn't care if you're this way or that way. He doesn't care what you do. Just love him with your heart, you'll be okay. I mean, it's so easy to change the message, and let's face it, millions have changed the message. And a lot of people are not hearing the truth. But the truth is so important, and we have to be focused on the truth. See, this reflected their attitude toward what they had. It was valuable. It was important for everyone. Everyone needs to hear this. And it was worth dying for. But they had to go beyond attitude. See, the results in the first century came because Christians were active. We know it back then. They were active. In fact, when you go to Colossians chapter 1, it talks about the fact that the gospel had presented to every creature under heaven. In other words, they had taken it out. You know, in Acts 8, they took everywhere they went preaching the word. By the time Paul wrote Colossians, which was probably about 25 to 30 years after Jesus died on the cross, the gospel message had been presented to every human being on the planet. Everyone, because that's what the scripture says. All creation has heard the gospel. Well, the problem is they didn't keep it up. And our problem is we don't keep it up either. Do the people in your world know what the gospel is? Certainly they're going to reject it. That's true. But do they even know it? Have they even heard it? That's the question you have to ask yourself. The people in my world, have they even heard the gospel from my mouth? Have I told anybody about the Christ? Have I told people what God has done for me? See, they were active in the first century. And God calls us to be active as well. See, they taught. And they believed they held the responsibility to spread the gospel. Sometimes we don't feel that way. Well, that's the preacher's job to spread the gospel. I've heard that excuse a lot. No, I'm no different than you guys. We all have that responsibility. Every one of us has that responsibility to spread the gospel. We do so by our example, we do so by our speech, and we do so by our teaching. That's how we spread the gospel. You know, 1 Corinthians 9:16 talks about that and spreading the gospel. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 is an interesting passage. You know, Jeremiah, he was a prophet that everybody, they pretty much did what we've been describing all morning. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They threw things at him. They wanted to kill him. And he's talking here in Jeremiah chapter 20. You know, I don't want to say anything anymore that offends anybody. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. He says, I tried doing that. But you know what? The word of God was like a fire within me. And I just had to let it out. Do we feel the same way? We need to. See, they were not content just to have the gospel for themselves. They had to teach others. This was their compulsion. This is what they felt was necessary. This is what God wants us to feel the same today. He wants us to be able to teach others. And we should feel that obligation to God. We should feel that responsibility because we look out, as Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. There's a lot of people out there that need Jesus. A lot of people out there need God. And if we had more people who believed in Jesus and did what God told them to do, our world wouldn't be so bad. So we have the ability to start making changes in our world. They used every opportunity to teach. We wait until Sunday morning before we teach, and it shouldn't be that way. We need to use every opportunity. See, they were active enough to draw the attention of other religious leaders from our story in Acts 17. Because Paul went in, he reasoned with them, and then people believed it. It caught their attention. They didn't like it. So they had to come up with something. They just couldn't go with the truth, so they went and got some seedy people, some bad people from the marketplace, paid them some money. Now you come in, make a bunch of trouble. Same thing goes on today. See, they were forceful. They didn't try to spare feelings. Because the truth, yes, the truth always hurts. You know, a lot of preachers, they don't want to offend anybody. Oh, don't worry about that. God's going to overlook it. His grace is sufficient for you. No. Tell them the truth. If you don't change your ways, you will spend eternity in hell. I mean, that's exactly what we have to tell people. And, yeah, try and do so in the nicest way possible. But we got to let them know we're concerned about your soul. And if you don't change your ways, you're going to be lost. We shouldn't try and spare feelings because sometimes the stark reality of the truth is the only thing that's going to make an impact on people. Sugarcoating does not work. See, they were trying to convince people to change. And we need to be doing the same thing. Sometimes it says they were blunt. Sometimes this is what we call brutal honesty. Sometimes being blunt is what is necessary. Now, we got to be trying not to be as blunt. But whenever you're speaking the truth, it's going to be taken that way. We can be trying the best of our ability to speak the truth in love one with another. But those people who are on the receiving end, they may not perceive it that way. We can't control that. See Acts 2:22-24. Peter explaining to these people why all this stuff was taking place. And he just told them the blunt reality. It's because you killed the Son of God. The Messiah you were waiting for. You turned him over to these Romans so that they could have him put to death. It was your fault. And they didn't like it. They didn't want to hear that. Oh no, they were Jews. They were God's chosen. They didn't want to hear the truth. Peter gave it to them any of the way. Some of them believed it. Many of them didn't. See, their teaching drew attention. People paid attention. Why? Well, because they were getting results. We know that first day there were 3,000 added to the church. In Acts chapter 5, we read about 5,000 being added to the church. And then every time after that, it says the church multiplied. It grew. Their teaching drew attention. The Jews knew exactly what was going on. Some of them knew that this was reality. This is what was planned from the beginning. But they didn't like it. They were losing their prestige. They were losing their position of honor. And they didn't like that. They knew what was going on. Some Jews knew that, well, this is the way of life. You know, like Paul, before he became a Christian, man, he had to put this down. This was not right. And he worked out of all good conscience. killing Christians, seeing to their death, the taking of their property, any way to persecute this group. But the Christians did not try to hide their activities from them. Everything they did was to expand the way. That's something we need to consider. How do we expand the way? The way is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ isn't going to change, so what do we got to do? We've got to open up and let more people see Him. And that's what our responsibility is, to let more people see the Christ. Being a Christian was dangerous in the first century. We know that. And in some parts of our world today, it is dangerous being a Christian. And you might even say, in this area, it's dangerous being a Christian if you're going to tell the truth. Now, there's a lot of people call themselves Christians, but they don't teach and practice the truth. So they just kind of ignore those. But anyone who teaches what the Bible teaches about any number of subjects is going to be castigated, and they're going to be ridiculed, and there's going to be protest. There's going to be lawsuits. It's still dangerous to be a Christian if everything around you is non-Christian. So how do you change that? Well, you take everything around you and make them Christians, right? You change your environment. Now the question, the application for us, can we be recognized as the type of church these men and women were a part of? Do we share this? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. And is the gospel valuable to us? You know, Proverbs 23 and 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. You get a hold of the truth, you don't let it go, no matter what the cost is. You hang on to it. You hang on to the truth, no matter what the cost. I mean, if it means the taking away of our property and putting us in jail because of the gospel, so be it. God is going to recognize that. God is going to know. So, to you, just how valuable is this gospel? Is it shown how we treat the gospel? How do we treat the gospel? We listen to it. We're happy that our preacher preaches the gospel. Does it stop there, or does it go any farther? Do we teach it, or is it bound up in our Bibles, gathering dust on the shelves? What do you do with your Bibles when you leave this place? I know I walk around sometimes, and a lot of people just leave their Bible sitting on the pew. Maybe they've got another one at home. Maybe they got a lot of other copies at home. But the question is this Bible important enough for you to open it up for others? Number one, for others to see, and for others to be taught. Is it important enough that every person on earth should hear it? Well, we would want everybody on this earth to hear the gospel, because if only just a small portion of them believed in the gospel and believed the gospel message and turned their lives around, can you imagine the improvement in humanity? We could get rid of school shootings. We can get rid of racism. We can get rid of any of the ills of our society. That would all change, turning the world upside down. But for you, if you believe it's this important, have your neighbors and friends heard it from you? See, spreading the gospel is an individual responsibility. And let's face it, do not become disappointed if results do not come fast enough. I know, sometimes it takes a long time. I worked with one individual for years He started off being an atheist, and then he became an agnostic, and then he finally started paying attention. We started talking about the Bible, me and a few others. We worked with him and worked with him. It got to the point, and when he had Bible questions, he would come ask me, and I'd respond. And just working and working and working. Sad thing is, he died before he obeyed the gospel. He died of cancer. And that was strange, but I saw the development. He was working that way. He probably would have been a very good Christian. He would have been an excellent Christian. He just didn't quite make it. But don't be disappointed, because even Jesus said, there's not many are going to accept the gospel. Now the question is the gospel worth dying for? Do you feel that way? I mean, this is a serious question. Is it worth losing family over? I know a lot of people who obeyed the gospel, and they're, we don't want anything to do with that. He's not nothing to us. No name. Just, he's not part of us anymore. I have seen Christians be kicked out of their families. Sometimes if the family is one religion and they become a Christian, they're shunned. Or as the Amish call it, they're shunt. In other words, they're of no account anymore. They don't even exist as far as we're concerned. Is the gospel worth it to you to be like that? Is the gospel worth losing friends over? Now, how you look at that? If I don't want to lose my friends, I'm not going to share the gospel, and so we're still going to stay friends. But you know, if you started teaching them the gospel, what's going to happen? So maybe you don't want to lose your friends. We all need friends. That's true. But at what expense? Are you going to let them dictate how you live your life? And for most of us, oh yeah, we're going to let our friends dictate how we live our life. You get your friends and one of them gets a bottle of booze. Hey, let's have this. Oh, I don't want to offend my friends by not drinking booze. So guess what? Where we're going? Is the gospel worth losing friends over? Maybe is the gospel worth losing a job over? Now, some people, if they get a job, I mean, they hang on to it. And there's nothing going to stop them from having that job, even though it might prevent them from being a Christian. Is the gospel worth that? Jesus talked about that. What is it worth to your soul? What does a man give in exchange for his soul? What if he gained the whole world, yet lose his own soul? Now, are we active in spreading the gospel? And to what extent? Each one of us needs to fulfill our own responsibilities. Do what you can. And so there's things you can do. And it's very easy to spread the gospel. You know, after every sermon, I send an email to those who have given me their email address, the outline of the lesson. What do you do with it? You file it in file 13, or the trash pile, or the garbage pile, or do you hit that forward button and forward it to all your other friends? That would be a way to spread the gospel. That would be something you can do. Take these and post them on Facebook. I mean, let more people read. Be exposed to it. We never know what's going to happen. All we're doing is planting seed. Just like the sower in Matthew chapter 13. He went and planted seed, and he wasn't picky on where he planted it either. He threw it everywhere. Some of it landed on good soil. So our effort can be the same way. And each of us must bear our own load. We all have a responsibility. We can't shuffle this off on somebody else. We can't shuffle our responsibility to teach the gospel on the preacher or some other person in the congregation. We've got to bear our own load. And when we stand before God, He's going to be looking at us, what did you do? Oh, I let the preacher do all my preaching for me. How do you think that's going to go over? Like I said, these people turn the world upside down. These men did indeed do it. And we can be successful in doing the exact same thing in our world. We're not worried about the world in other parts of the country, other nations. What about right here in Newark, Fremont, Union City? What are we doing to change our world? We have to be willing to work in the community. In other words, we have to go out and let people know that we are Christians. Sometimes we can do it by our example, by our behavior. Sometimes we have to tell them, I'm a Christian. So what will we do? Our success or failure is dependent upon how we respond to this lesson and what we do with it. Do we take it with us or do we just bury it? Are we doing our part? Consider these thoughts. That's our lesson for this morning, and I hope it has an impact on you. I think it will if you'll pay attention to it, and you'll do it. Because that's what we're supposed to do. To obey the gospel of Jesus Christ is a very simple message. After hearing the gospel, you believe it. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You repent of your sin. Change your ways. Realize that I have sinned and I need to stop sin. Do the best we can there. Confess the name of Jesus before others. Make him your Lord and let the world know Jesus is the Lord of my life. And then be baptized, have your sins washed away. And then live faithfully the rest of your life. If you need to obey the gospel, and some of you do, if you need to obey the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. And if you need to ask for prayers, we stand ready to assist you. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
When you walk with the